Happy Thursday, everybody. It's Rich Birch from Unseminary. Today, we've got a conversation about church revitalization. I think you're going to love it. It's a great interview. I know I learned a lot through it. But you know, when you think about church revitalization, a part of what you think about is the pipeline to getting new leaders at your church, particularly staff leaders. And what you're going to want to do is check out Leadership Pathway. They help churches like yours either begin a residency program or take your existing internship program to the next level. Surely you've stopped and you've thought, you've wondered, or maybe you've been forced to think, where is the next staff coming from? The next one, two, maybe even 10 staff, where are they coming from? Maybe you've tried an internship program. I know that I have, and it just has kind of fallen short. There's two parts of this: finding great interns. They have a whole process for doing this. They will not only do the interviewing, the disc assessment, they'll chase down the references and hand you on a platter a number of great residents. But the second thing they'll do is throughout the process, hold your hand and actually the resident's hand to make sure that it's just a great experience for them, that they're growing as a leader and that you're getting what you're looking for out of this. Listen, friends, I want you to do this today. Drop by leadershippathway.org/unseminary, where you can book a phone call with Dave. He is the lead guy over there at Leadership Pathway and a good friend of Unseminary. Love him dearly. He'd love to get on the phone with you and talk and learn about your church and have you learn about really what residency can do for you. Drop by again, leadershippathway.org/unseminary today. Well, let's jump into this fascinating conversation about church revitalization. Let's go.
Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up, and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. So glad that you're here. I think you're in for a real treat today. You're going to love today's conversation. We've got Pastor Eric Smith with us. Well, why don't we jump in? Why don't you tell us a little bit about Vaughn Forest Church? If people were to arrive today, what would they experience this weekend? And give us a bit of the history and kind of what's going on. Bring us up to speed on what's happening at Vaughn Forest.
Sure. Yeah. So Vaughn Forest is a very dynamic church, very diverse racially. We have people from literally all over the world, not just because we're in the South and in Alabama, but because we're a military town, a city, Air Force base here. So you have people coming from all over the world, different countries that come here to be trained as officers, but also just people from all over the states. And so it's a pretty cool place to be. And so our church is very unique in that way, but high energy, dynamic worship, incredible kids ministries, lots of fun. You know, I mean, it's been a fun ride being here the last 3 years, helping Vaughn Forest transition. The church started in 1994. And at that point in time, this area of the city was a growing area, and the church took off really fast and grew a lot over about a 12 or 13 year period. And then they went into their third building phase, made a few mistakes along the way, probably overextended themselves financially, and the economic crash happened at the same time.
Gosh, so bad timing.
People are like bailing. It's like the Titanic, you know, people are just jumping off the ship. And so for about 8 years, the church went through a really difficult time of decline. And so there was a pastor who came in, who was here for a little over a year, who just brought some stability and stopped the bleeding, I would say, and plugged the holes in the boat. And I had been a church planter, and I started a church in Mississippi and founded that with, you know, about 10 people, and we grew to four locations with about 1,000 folks, and started a church planting network called the 242 Network, and had friends that we did that with. And so that was my background. And God started stirring on me in my heart about the possibility of helping an existing church revitalize.
Very cool.
So through some relationship connections, this church out of the blue called me, moved here, and it's been a crazy ride. I mean, we've seen just a culture shift, incredible growth. It's been pretty amazing to see what God has done just in so many different ways.
Well, there's so much we could talk about. You know, church revitalization is obviously a critically important area. And, you know, here's an example of a church who's in that process and really seeing some amazing things happen. God's doing some cool stuff in your church. I'd love to kind of specifically narrow in on kind of the team dynamics, the kind of staff relationships, that sort of thing. I can imagine in a growing church, and even with a church with some history, that could provide some interesting opportunities for growth on the culture side, right? Some changes that might need to be made. Can you give us a sense of kind of what's that been looked like? What does that part of the revitalization look like for you?
Yeah, so part of my first 100 days is I worked with my coach and we drew out a 100-day plan. Mm-hmm. And one of the main emphasis was to not only build our staff team, but like the key main lay leaders in the church. And so really trying to build trust. Obviously, Pat Lencioni talks about that in his 5 Dysfunctions of a Team. Mm-hmm. If you don't have trust, you don't have anything. So really focused hard on that and making sure we had the right people, not only on the right in the right seats, but were they on the right bus? And so really had to dig into that and make sure we had the right team members, had to make a few adjustments there, bring on some new people. But it's been amazing. You know, the team that we have, folks have really bought into the vision and what we're trying to do. And it's just been phenomenal. Some of the things that we do to try to really cultivate a healthy culture is we do 2 staff retreats a year. And really those are built around relationship. But also, how are we continuing to cultivate health within our lives, but also in the life of the church, and really cast that vision and be more effective in communication and those type things. So that's been an ongoing process now for almost 3 years.
Yeah, why don't we talk a little bit about that? Give me a sense of those retreats. When do they happen? Where do they happen? You know, the agenda, you know, what does it look like if someone was to attend them? Give us a sense of that. It's a real practical tactic. Love to hear more about that.
Sure. So we do 2 of those a year. One is usually right after the first of the start of the year, so around February. We try not to do it in our key busy season, so we kind of let the launch of the year begin, get toward the end of February, like we can breathe a little bit.
Yep.
We go on staff retreat there. Typically, we do the other one in June or so, but this year we're going to actually push it to September just to kind of let us get past August.
Get past the August launch.
Well, and our bigger rush here is kind of unique too, because military arrive, they're here for usually a year. So we have a big influx and turnover every year. So it creates about a 20% turnover on top of the natural change that most churches experience. It's really interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah, it's very challenging dynamic, but fun. So anyway, we do those, and they're usually 3 days, and we go away. We don't stay locally because I want to remove us from our environment. We typically will stay, and whether it's a hotel or a retreat or rent a couple condos or whatever, house, something like that at the beach. We're not too far from the beach. Or the last one we did, we actually went to Atlanta, and we used a church there to meet in, but we stayed in hotels and did some fun stuff. So a lot of it is built around relationship. Building, but this time we really focused primarily, because I had several new team members, on our values and infusing values of the church in a multisensory way.
Interesting.
So for me, I believe that if you want to shift culture, obviously there's a lot of factors involved, but it's about people embracing and living out the values or purposes of the church. And so we were wrestling through primarily how do we do that in a multisensory way. We also did another practice where we used, I don't know if you've read The 5 Voices.
No, I haven't.
And it's incredible. Steve Cockrum and Jeremy Kubitschek, they have a company called Giant Worldwide. They work with businesses, but they are Christ followers. And that book is phenomenal. So I took a whole team through that. We discussed the different voices that we each have and to better communicate amongst our staff team. So it's all the staff, ministerial staff team that goes. So right now there's about 15 or so of us on that team. And so we did that. And we really focused on that. And then so we come back with a strategy and a plan on how are we going to better infuse these values in a multisensory way. How are we going to help people experience the culture and the values in the smell? in the way things taste, like even with our coffee,
right?
In what they see, feel, hear. How do we really, in a holistic way, help them do that?
So I love that. I'd love to hear. Can give us some examples of those? Because that's intrigued me. This multi-century kind of way to talk about values, I just think is amazing. But just give me some sense of that.
Well, we still haven't figured out the smell piece. But one of the things we do is, it's like in our kids' area. You know, moms are worried about safety and cleanliness, mm-hmm. so we make sure that there's a scent of fresh linen. Mm. Clean clothes.
Yep.
In the rest of the space, we really are targeting men, mm-hmm. and so we want a masculine, not over the top masculine smell,
locker
not like
room.
Axe body spray. Like, you know, but so we're trying to make sure, like, so we have just a woodsy kind of vibe going yep. on as far as the smell. We're trying to figure out how to put that in our fog machine, but in our fog machine, seriously, like, how do we create a smell that's right. going to make people connect with the environment we're trying to create. Huh. As far as taste, you know, these are the two hardest ones, smell and taste.
Yeah.
But, like, how do we offer quality coffee? Mm-hmm. But then also with our volunteer, we call our volunteer change makers.
Yep.
So in our change maker kind of VIP room type mm-hmm. thing, how do we have excellent, incredible snacks and resources for those people to really show them? Because I tell our staff team all the time, you're not the staff.
Right.
The volunteers, the change makers are the staff. We're simply the resourcers. We're equipping them for the work, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So that's some of the ways we do that. Huh. As far as C, now these yep. are the more practical ones, C, fill in here. So as far as C, how across the campus are we visually communicating those values? Mm-hmm. Our values connect, grow, serve, share, and honor. So we're a purpose-driven church. Mm-hmm. So we create sticky statements around those. Mm-hmm. We talk about that a lot. How are we constantly communicating that visually, not just through words, but through imagery?
Mm-hmm.
And then also through feel. We do something that we call a change maker minute every mm-hmm. service.
Oh, and very cool.
We celebrate one of our change makers. And we have a picture on the screen of that family. And mm-hmm. we may do a video testimony. It's only a minute. Mm-hmm. I may read a quote from that family of what it means to be a change maker.
Very cool.
Because we're trying to cultivate that culture of being a volunteer, being mm-hmm. engaged part. Because I believe if people have relationship and responsibility, they will not only grow spiritually, but they'll stick.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we're really working hard on that. And then that connects with even what they hear. Mm-hmm. So constantly we're doing that, even within our team huddles. Every Arab ministry, every weekend does huddles. And so mm-hmm. they're always communicating one of our values and one of those sticky statements. And then they're connecting that with the story of somebody who's living out that value. So we huddle up mm-hmm. and Bill over there. Last week, guys, I just want you to know, I saw Bill live out our value of connect, which we believe life is better connected. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what he did. He spent extra time with this new family, mm-hmm. really loving on their kids, making them feel welcome, whatever that example might be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I'm getting it. And so you've got to say this stuff and do this stuff over and over and over and
Absolutely.
Over again. And when you think you've done it enough, you've got so many new people, you're doing it again. It's never
yep.
in.
Yep.
So,
yeah, that's great. So practical. And I think, you know, the way I've heard it said, and it's the way I've lived out and said to other, you know, leaders in my midst, I'm like, listen, if people aren't making fun of us for communicating the vision, we're not doing it enough. We're not communicating the values enough. You've got to, you know, there's got to be that moment where people are almost rolling their eyes because they're like, yeah, I get it, Pastor. I get it. And that's, which is great. Then you're like, okay, we're about halfway there. We got to keep pushing. That's great. That's fantastic. Well, what about, you know, on the other side? I think often this has been really helpful. I think even I love that idea of like the masculine scent. I think there's a lot of people ask that question. You know, we're trying to reach guys and, you know, you walk into a lot of church buildings and they do smell very girly. And so even I love that idea, right? That's an interesting.
Well, and I would
notion.
Just say this too yeah. on that from a visual perspective.
Yeah.
The colors we choose,
oh, yeah,
there's no,
absolutely.
There's not big flower arrangements.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to really look, how is this connecting with the male?
Yep.
And that's not that we don't love ladies, but if we can reach the male, we reach the family.
Yep.
And I mean, we all know the stats. I mean, yep. men go to church less than women. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, not at all. That's great. No, that's wonderful. That's good. Really super practical. What about on the kind of, you know, let's say on the maybe harder edge of, you know, culture stuff, what happens, you know, what are you doing to either hold accountability for folks? There's always the, you know, there's the kind of carrot and stick side of the equation. What happens is, or does just everybody fall in line and they're all like, okay, the mission, the vision, the values that we're living all of them. How are you encouraging people to, you know, maybe with a bit of the accountability and system side to what does that look like for you?
Yeah. So we have it really easy here. Everybody just does everything I say.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, the interview's done, folks. Thanks for listening.
So I'll tell you a book, and I've got a copy right here.
Yeah, absolutely.
This book, Traction. Have you read Traction by Gina?
Yeah, fantastic book.
Okay. So Traction, it was crazy. I was playing golf a little over a year ago in this match play thing, and I'm not a good golfer, but enjoy it. I meet this guy who is a retired, very successful business guy. We get to be friends. When he finds out I'm a pastor, and I actually know at least a little bit about leadership, he's shocked, mm-hmm. because most pastors he's interacted with, he's like, why do you talk about leadership? So we get to be friends. He gives me this book. Long story short, he commits to take our whole staff team through this senior leadership staff team through this process mm-hmm. for free.
Hmm, wow.
This is like, you pay these guys about, you know, $9,000 a day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So he's That's been taking amazing. Us through this process. And one of the things they do is they have a process where you take your values or your purposes, whatever term you want to use, and it's really evaluating all your staff around those values, how they're living those out. Mm-hmm. And so your senior leadership team or the oversight of those people sits down and they literally track those people. And there's a chart that they use that Gino Wickman and the team there mm-hmm. with Entrepreneurial Operating System mm-hmm. and Traction have created mm-hmm. That helps you do that. And so from a real practical standpoint amongst our staff team, mm-hmm. that's how we do that. And for example, one of the things we covered at staff retreat is mm-hmm. I showed them, it's called the People Analyzer.
Yep.
Is what they call it. Mm-hmm. And so I show it to them and saying, hey, you're getting analyzed through this lens.
Right.
You know, and of course we do quarterly evals, which our evaluations are very encouraging, life-giving. They're not like, hey, come in and let us beat you down.
Right. right.
But it's really trying to see how can we continue to resource you to help you win more.
Yep.
And so that's one of the practical ways within our staff team.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
For me, I'm looking at that and even going, okay, when I'm thinking about raises or who can I elevate more and give more responsibility? It's driven by how they're living out those values.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, that's very good. That's fantastic. Yeah, it's a great book. And, you know, the Entrepreneurial Operating System it's funny. I keep bumping into it across multiple organizations and folks that are really just seeing great traction on that front for sure. Well, this has been so fantastic. Is there anything else you want to share, you know, with us when you really think through this? How are you pushing culture out to your team, you know, to your staff, to your volunteers? What else should we be thinking about?
Yeah, I think it starts with you, obviously, mm-hmm. and then it goes to your staff team, and then your key lay leaders, whatever your structure is, whether it's mm-hmm. elders, deacons, you know, all the different structures that are out there. Mm-hmm. And then it goes to those change makers. And I think it's really helping them have clarity of what those are, mm-hmm. but not only that, almost training them to what I would describe as weed and feed.
Mm.
Okay, so, or you could use another term, that grow and guard. You're growing the culture, you're guarding the culture, you're beating the culture, you're feeding the culture. Mm-hmm. So we know what we're about so much so mm-hmm. that when we see someone that's a weed, we pluck it out or we stop it.
Yep.
You know, or on the flip side, once you get beyond a lot of the negativity, which I dealt with a lot of that here at the beginning. I mean, it was a toxic culture. I've never seen so much divisiveness and anger in my life. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. And God just did an incredible work to change hearts and move those folks like
onto another
place, right?
Yes.
But really, I think it's you've got to weed sometimes, but I think it's helping people know how to feed, like how to share that vision and that culture.
Mm-hmm.
So as we do it, you know, what's rewarded is repeated, what's practiced is repeated. Mm-hmm. So the change maker minute. I do that because I want people to repeat that.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to celebrate people.
Yep.
And so celebrating the culture, so they're feeding the culture. The reason we do it in the huddles is to feed the culture. Mm. We have a thing that we do every couple, 3 months called Changemaker Nights. Mm-hmm. And we literally throw a big party for all of our change. This wow. coming Sunday night is one of our Changemaker nights.
That's amazing.
So what we do is we're in the South. So we're doing a catfish fry.
Good. That's good. That's good.
And it's awesome. I love catfish. I'm from Mississippi.
Yep.
So we're having a big catfish fry. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all free. Yep. We have a big party. Hmm. We have childcare for their kids, feed them. And we literally have a big party. We celebrate. There is a little bit of teaching that I do, but I celebrate more than anything. Hmm. And then they even break into their teams and they do some real practical training.
Right.
So we have our whole team ready for that. And so that also helps our whole team execute ongoing training. Now, we utilize video training and those type resources as well, because you can't get people together all the time. But we're creating that culture around celebrating. And I think that's one of the greatest ways that you feed that. Mm-hmm. And the more you feed it and the more people know it, they'll smell a weed, they'll sniff that out, and they'll guard it, and they'll weed it out.
Right.
And they're like, hey, we that's not who we are around here. Hmm. You know, we don't put up with that. And those people will remove themselves or either change.
Right. Cause this, even the culture is so red hot that it just, people stick out and then they'll opt out if they're like, hey, that's not who I want to be. Or they'll step up, right? They'll be like, hey, that's the kind of person I want to be. I want to be like that.
And I'll just go ahead and say, this is really hard.
Yes.
I mean, like, super hard.
Right.
You can't, it's not like a one month thing. It is like the thing you do.
Right.
This is the thing you do.
Right. You wake up, you keep worrying about it. That's amazing. You do those quarterly
even
parties.
Even in preaching, you're constantly thinking about it.
That's amazing. You do those parties, the, you know, that you're able to sustain that over time, that people are able to keep, you know, keep coming to those things. And they obviously, they're fun. I love that you've wrapped in some training there. I think sometimes people, you know, with that kind of stuff, they, you know, they're always, they may try to struggle getting people to come to training, but the fact that you've kind of wrapped it up as a party is amazing. It's a great thing. Sorry, go ahead. And free food, right? And some good catfish always draws them in for sure. That's great. Well, we're going to jump into the lightning round, that part of the episode where we ask similar questions of everybody that's on the show. Super excited to have Pastor Eric Smith with us today from Vaughn Forest, a fantastic church you really should be following along with, doing some great stuff in the middle of a great revitalization. Excited to see what happens in the future. Eric, what is an online resource that you're using these days that's helping you in your ministry?
Online resource. Really more podcast, I think. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I listen to the Unseminary podcast.
Uh-oh. Now I got to send you $20.
Kerry Newhoff, obviously. Yeah. Everybody listens to him. I just have to – it usually takes me 2 workouts to get through one of his podcasts.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Even if you listen to them at double time, they take
brilliant.
A while.
I mean, they're so good. Yeah. And I love Andy Stanley's podcast. Craig Rochelle, his podcasts are really good. So I'm kind of a leadership junkie. Mm-hmm. So those are really the, I guess, online resources that I use, or, you know, tech resources that I use.
Yeah, that's great.
Purpose-driven stuff.
Yeah.
I'm really involved with those guys.
Nice. What's a book you've read in the last, I don't know, maybe 6 months to a year that's shaping your thinking or your ministry?
Well, I kind of hit it already, but Traction, How to Be a Great Boss by Geno Wickman, What the Heck is EOS?
Right.
Those are all 3 books from that same kind of category that I've been reading recently.
Yep.
The Purpose Driven Church, I went back and read it again.
Yeah.
And that was kind of fun because you go back and you read it and you go, wow, almost everything that's out there is just they've recopied Rick.
Right.
And recanned it, really, because it was so brilliant. I mean, just because it's straight from the Bible, you know. Yep. I mean, it's just good stuff. So those are some of the books that I've been reading lately. And then mostly working on my dissertation. So.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, for books for that. That's fantastic. Well, I can imagine, I know leading a growing church like you are takes a lot out of you. It takes a lot of effort and energy. When you just want to kick back, relax, you know, have some fun, what do you do for fun?
Yeah, so what I do for fun is in the morning, you know, I work out. And that's fun to me. It's kind of relaxing. Mm-hmm. And then I play golf.
Nice.
I grew up playing baseball and football my whole life and did that in college. But can't do that anymore. So play golf. But the thing I do the most, honestly, that I enjoy the most is hanging out with my wife and my son.
Nice. Well, I really appreciate being on the show today, Eric. Thank you so much for that. If there's, you know, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you or with the church?
Yeah, just follow me on Facebook or friend me on Facebook. You can like our church, Vaughn Forest Church, on Facebook. That's probably the best.
Nice. Appreciate being on the show today.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much and enjoyed the conversation.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.